So you can hear the music, the eerie piano playing, and by the sound of the music, you should know what time it is. Jurassic World has been released. Me and Daph J just came from the theater, getting chased by pterodactyls, and Indominus Rexes, and velociraptors. Everything you could think of from every other movie, we've just escaped them all. I'm Eric Anthony, your host of the Cave of Solitude, and I'm joined by everybody's actual favorite host,
Lady J.
Lady J, Daphne J, aka Lady Symphony, DJ Symphony. Is there anything else we're missing?
Daphne the emotional.
Daphne the emotional.
Daphne the exhausted.
You are a big Jurassic Park fan from when you were a little kid.
Since a wee thing. I love Jurassic Park. One of my favorite movies.
How well do you know that movie?
Like the back of my hand. I know people's gestures and when they say it and how they say it.
It's true. We watched it recently and I gotta say, I was pretty impressed at how well you knew cues to that movie. I loved it. We're gonna get into all of that. Jurassic World, directed by... Oh, I can't remember this gentleman's name.
It starts Thibodeau.
No.
It starts with a T.
Colin Trevorrow, starring Chris Pratt, Bryce Dallas Howard, Vincent D'Onofrio makes an appearance. So you got Star-Lord and Kingpin.
And Dr. Wu. And Mr. DNA.
And Mr. DNA all making appearances. And we're going to get into all the good stuff. So a little bit of spoilers. We're not going to try to spoil everything. But we're going to give you our synopsis, our review of the movie. And if you should go see it or not. If it's worth it after all of these years of Jurassic Park being closed down for shop. Now they're reopened again.
Let's get into it.
So it's been a while since we've been in the cave. And our audience has missed us. People have asked when we're coming back. Before we dig into our movie review about Jurassic World, what have you been up to? Tell everybody. I know what you've been up to, but how have you been doing?
I've been reading things.
Okay.
That I think I should have liked, but I don't.
Okay.
I've gone to the Niagara Falls Comic Con.
Okay.
And I liked it. And what else have I done?
I've seen a couple movies.
Which ones? I can't
think. Saw Tomorrowland.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Saw Tomorrowland.
Mm-hmm. Anything else?
I don't remember. It's been crazy.
It's been a busy month.
I feel like we fell behind a little.
We got a lot to catch up on.
Yeah.
Lots of season finales of television shows.
I know. Like right? What? What do we watch? Well,
The Flash. We could talk about The Flash. Yeah. There's upcoming television shows that we could talk about.
Yeah.
We've got emails from Philly P to read.
Oh, my.
We're going to save all of that. This episode, we're going to give it exclusive coverage of Jurassic World, the movie we've both been anticipating. I've been in high anticipation for this movie. I've been reading the original novel from Michael Crichton just to get myself amped up. And I have to say, it helped me enjoy the movie a little bit more. Let's get into the whole experience. This was our first time going to a VIP theater. I've always heard about these places. I've heard about them in the States, and I've always intended to go, but it's never happened. And for us, I've seen listings of VIP movies, and I've never considered going to them. I don't know why. What did you think of it? Explain to everybody what the VIP experience is like.
I will never go to a regular movie theater ever again in my life. This is it. This Why is not? It for me.
It was life-changing.
It was very much.
Okay, so tell us the whole experience of a VIP theater.
First of all, you don't even have to show a ticket. Let me tell you something. Had I not gotten these tickets and just showed up, I probably would have been able to do it. No, because you have to reserve your seating. Anyway... So you go in there, nobody says anything, and then you go to like this area where you can just sit and you order food. And then they say, okay, we'll get that for you. Also, do you have a scene card? Yeah, I do. So then, you know, they do the bleep bleep, and then they come back, and then they bring you your food. And I'm not talking just popcorn and things, like actual dining. You know, a waitress comes and asks for what I want.
Yeah, like literally a dinner and a movie.
This is before the movie.
Yeah.
And then she'll even say, oh, don't rush. Don't feel like you need to, like, waft the food down because you can bring it in with you. And I'm like, as I'm stuffing my face, I'm like, okay, thanks for letting me know now. And then she's like, and it's like, what, 6:15 or something? And then she's like, you guys, the movie, even though it says that it starts at 6:30, technically it starts like maybe 6:45, 6:50, because they show commercials and blah. So take your time, take it easy. The bathrooms, immaculate, clean.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't even find like the flusher. It was that.
The handle.
It was that pristine. It was very like lush.
Nice.
Then, just before we go in, after we've stuffed our face, you know, we're going to stuff our face some more.
Right.
So now we're lining up in front of this concession stand, in which no one is standing in front of.
So rare.
And then this chick says, you know, you can just go inside and you can order food from in there. And we're like, yeah, but there's no lineup. But then I'm thinking, I'm here, let me get the full experience. Heck yeah, I'm going to go into my chair and just wave somebody over. So then they came.
How, what, like, what were those chairs like for you?
Lush.
Lush.
Lush. And they reclined. And they weren't noisy. And they were spacious. And you can lift the arm so you can snuggle with the person next to you. Also, there's a little, like, okay, remember in school when you would have, like, the chairs and then you had, like, the little table?
Attached to it.
Attached to it. So these recliners have tables attached to them that revolve, like, they swing in front of you.
Like a little table, like a little desk. And
you can place your food on top should you wish to do that.
I wished to do that today. My popcorn was a little bit high above my head.
Yeah, it was like right in front of you. What is he doing? And then, yeah. Oh, and you know what happened?
Tell me.
What happened was, because this movie that we were going to see, it was in 3D. So then they show you all these previews and then they're like, okay, now put on your 3D glasses. I'm here struggling with the bag trying to get the glasses out. But then, I don't know what it is that I did, and the package was already open for me. So the glasses fell through the plastic.
Is it not usually like that?
No.
No?
No, nobody opens it for you. It was in the pack, but like, it looked untouched.
And you know what? It isn't that much more expensive to go to this theater as it would be to go to just a regular theater.
Well, see, this was a generous, shall I say, gift from that we were invited to go ahead this thing.
Yes.
To experience this. So I didn't even see the price of these tickets, but I don't know how much more it would be from a regular show.
I think it's only like $7 more. To go and sit in these.
Okay, but a regular ticket is what, like $12?
$12-$13. Yeah.
That's still kind of significant, but I guess what you get what you pay for.
Well, I don't know if you remember when we went to watch Tomorrowland, the amount of children surrounding us was.
True that. That's another reason.
So, I don't know
no
if you noticed.
No kids allowed.
No, in this theater, they serve alcohol. You can have, oh, you can order a beer. There was a combo that was at the concession stand because I was looking for my candy, my M&M, popcorn, and pop combo. They don't have that here. It was popcorn and wine. I was totally thrown off. So, no kids are allowed. It was relaxing. Theater was quiet.
Yeah.
Like,
I think I'm the one that made most noise.
Yes, let's get into the movie. What were your thoughts?
Okay.
Being a Jurassic Park fan that you are, you're probably a bigger Jurassic Park fan than I was growing up. So, tell me what you thought. How did it rank for you?
Everything I'm going to say, people are probably going to roll their eyes and be like, you don't know what you're talking about. And I probably don't. It's just opinion.
Should we make this a spoiler-free, or should we spoil?
Spoilers coming up, folks.
Okay, there we go.
And we'll tell you,
excuse me.
I don't know what we'll tell you. Spoilers. Okay, no, not yet. Just wait a minute. We'll tell you when we're going to spoil it. So, my opinion of the movie overall. Or do you want to talk about it first? What do you want to do?
Okay, give us the plot. Give us a synopsis of... Because a lot of people say they're excited to go to a Jurassic Park movie, but then you have the others who say, like, really? Another one? Like, the park failed. They've gone through this already. Why are they still making this movie? It's kind of like...
Well, from what my understanding is that this movie takes place, supposedly, is the sequel to the first Jurassic Park movie. The other two did not exist. Mainly because no one really knows the events that happened on those two other islands. It was more of a rescue mission. Or someone being greedy and trying to pick up where they left off, but it didn't take off. I guess this is like, what, 20 years later, where they've revamped the park. It's been working. It's, you know, it's been cool so far. But something happened. Mm. So, I was excited as a Jurassic Park, fan. I was excited for this movie. So pumped for it. Okay, you tell me, what did you like about it?
Having read the book recently and seeing the detailed explanations of what the park was intended to be and all of the functions of how it was supposed to work and the reasons why it was a problem. And in the book, there's naturally more detail than in the original movie. The original movie does a very good job at highlighting what the adventure of the book is, but the book for me kind of gave me so much more of an understanding of what each species does and what the doctors were doing and what Hammond was really like. So to see them come up with a story now of a park that inherently had so many problems just because of the nature of the beast that they created, thinking that they could control it, it really intrigued me to see that they had a fully functional park that would look like a Disney World. Like, it was packed with people. The rides were operational. They weren't just going in jeeps, you know, through a park to be like, look to the left, there's a Tyrannosaurus, or this is where this dinosaur is. It was actual thrill rides. So I was intrigued to see, like, how did they actually make this work?
So you like that?
I like that part of it, yes.
Okay, I liked that too.
Yes.
I thought it kind of brought the excitement out of the park.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of made it realistic.
You could almost see yourself at a place like
that. Right, because you have been at a place like that.
True, yeah.
You know, we've done those things. You're like, yeah, in the middle of... I don't like how it just kind of happened. The story in the beginning of how they just... You know, the new Tim and Lex got on a plane, okay, and just showed up. I just felt that there was no substance there.
Okay.
I feel like they just rushed, like, the movie's here, let's get into it.
Yeah, it was like 10 minutes, you were on the island, and it was, the buildup of it wasn't quite as much, like, you just felt you were thrown into it.
This is a very hard thing for me to say. I think parts of the movie, I didn't like the graphics
of the CGI of the movie.
I liked when they did the close-ups of some dinosaurs, particularly the raptors.
That was awesome.
I thought that was amazing. Well done. Some things like the crazy dinosaur, it looked too CGI for me. I didn't buy it. Or the one that was in the water where, this is in the spoiler, people, you've seen the trailer, where it comes out from the water and it eats the great white shark that they're feeding it.
Yes.
It looked fake to me. I felt like, in comparison to the first Jurassic Park, because I saw the special features, and I'm sure this one's also going to have special features and how they created all of the dinosaurs and how they, like, made them, like, out of clay, and then they did the molds and all that. It seemed more real, more tactile. It just felt...
more was put into, yeah, making them function a certain way.
Exactly. Rather than them just putting a bunch of lines together and making it shiny on a computer. I'm not saying that's what they did. I don't know. I'm speaking out of ignorance. It just looked a little too done up.
So when you watch the original Jurassic Park now, after years of special effects enhancements and being really able to tell.
I just felt like there was a finesse, like in the first one, even when the Gallimimuses were that was CGI or whatever technology they had back then. That was all computer, and the people, the actors that were in that shot with the Gallimimuses, they had to like be told where to look and how to, you know what I mean, to make like what they were looking at were the Gallimimuses. It wasn't just a blank space. But, and I felt it just seemed more like cleaner, more natural. This, it just seemed very like empty a little bit.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like it was just it was a nice shiny display of something new, but I didn't feel a rawness to it.
How about the close-ups of it? Like I felt when it was really close up and you saw the teeth
saw the eye. Yeah. I thought that was cool. That was really cool. I'm not taking away from, I'm just talking like I just wish that the details that they put in those close-ups are the same details that they put in when they did the overall.
Because in the Jurassic Park original, you felt like when they did a close-up of the animal, even though it was animatronic type of deal, you felt like the skin was texture.
Mm-hmm. That's what I mean. There was more of like a tactile thing to it. You know what I mean? I could touch it and I feel like I haven't touched this thing, but I have an idea of what it would feel like.
Yeah, you know I understand what you mean.
As opposed to some of the creatures in this movie, I'm just like, it looks like a hologram.
I get it. I get what you're saying.
It was almost too good. Okay. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you wanted more of that rawness.
Yeah.
I understand what you're saying. Now, as far as the plot goes in regards to how the park went haywire with this, the people who run the park now have, it's been pretty much, I forget the new boss's name, the man who's taken over for Hammond. He's a pretty interesting CEO because he's humorous with his flying the helicopter and being kind of like this adventurous type of person, but he's also very serious when it comes running his business.
I think I appreciated the fact that he embraced the theory of Hammond of, you know what, this is for everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to make a buck out of it, but that's not the reason why we're doing this.
Are people enjoying this place?
Yeah, are people having fun? Are the animals safe? Are they happy? Are they, you know what I mean? And that's a very unusual, I guess, person in that position to be concerned about that. So I appreciated that. I liked that. So I thought it took a lot of the, what's the word I'm looking for?
Corporate?
No, that's not the word I'm looking for. It was a lot, very Hammond influenced.
Okay.
This new CEO.
Okay, right? Without Hammond physically being in the movie, his feelings towards building this place, his dream, you felt the influence of it. But ultimately, the bottom line with any amusement park, right, is to always have some new attraction that's top of the line, state of the art, that'll get people to come back. They have to see this thing. And in this case, it's a hybrid dinosaur.
Well, it's that I they think came up it with. Was if unless I'm mistaken, I think they indicated that the park has been up for a couple of years and it was losing momentum because it wasn't new and fresh and kids weren't intrigued anymore. It wasn't interesting anymore. So that's what led them to create this new dinosaur.
And
would create a wow factor.
Yeah. And that makes sense because every amusement park goes through that. Yeah, they need that new ride that's different from every other park, right?
Yeah.
And I thought it was interesting that there you can see a lot of corporate influence in the park. Like you could see restaurants that actually exist in amusement parks or at tourist attractions. Like
saw a couple of Starbucks in there?
There's probably Starbucks. There was the Samsung Pavilion.
That phone kept coming up, man.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like, it's very...
It never
let up.
Product
placement was very strong in the movie. Yeah. Purposeful, right? Even do you remember what it was called? The Idominus Rex. That's what it was. Mm-hmm. The hybrid dinosaur, Idominus Rex, was sponsored by Verizon. And the whole point was make, like, the scariest fear-inspiring dinosaur you could come up with that will make people want to see this and, you know, will give them that fear, that thrill. But they didn't know just how vicious this thing was and how smart it was, because what they had bred it with, it was a Tyrannosaurus Rex mixed with all this other stuff that they don't tell you until later on. But
like
on
little
in the movie.
By little, as you're watching the movie and you're seeing what this thing is capable of doing, you're like, oh, that has a little bit of this. Oh, that has a little bit of that. And oh no, it can also do that.
Yeah.
So you already start putting the pieces together as the movie's coming along.
Especially if you've watched Jurassic Park movies in the past, right? Yeah. So what did you think of that monster being the... Because in the first Jurassic Park, it was that everything was failing due to a storm or what Nedry had done for greedy purposes. But in this one, it's literally... It's greed again that brought them to this point, but the monster... It's literally a monster movie. What did you think of the monster that they had created? Were you genuinely scared of it? Did it give you that feeling of, this is horrible?
I thought it... I want to answer your question properly. I didn't like the new one.
No?
No.
How come?
Because, spoilers! It's so mean! It was a mean dinosaur. I mean, I get, and I think we did a podcast a while back where I said that I would probably have a hard time watching this movie because I, for some reason, I've become this emotional thing where I don't like seeing animals get hurt. And I don't care if it's ugly, I don't care if it's a bad animal, I don't like it. But this animal had just, so it was vicious. It was just a vicious thing. It wasn't killing to survive. It wasn't killing because it was hungry. It was just, and they even referenced it, that it was killing for sport. So I even cried when I saw some of these animals, like they were suffering. Like they were just there because this terrible thing has been created by humans.
It's the one with the long neck. What are they called?
Brachiosaurus? Brachiosaurus, I think. Mm. That, I had a really hard time. I couldn't watch it. I was crying.
It was sad.
I had to remind myself that this is just a movie, and it's just, the dinosaur's not even real. They're probably holding, like, you know, but then I could, and then, I don't know if you noticed, but that Brachiosaurus, the one that was dying in Pratt's arms there, he had some of the cud still in her mouth.
Mm.
So she must have been eating, minding her business. Okay, and then this thing just comes out of nowhere and starts slicing her back, and then she's there suffering. And then they pan out to the field, and a bunch of other bronchiosauruses are like, that really bothered me. But then, I'm thinking, I think, and maybe this is me getting deep and heavy, but like I think that was this, what do they call it, the new dinosaur?
Idominus Rex.
The Idominus Rex, I think, was a representation of humanity. Where they're so vicious and evil and just do things out of just ambition, just wanting more, and then they just start destroying themselves.
Yeah, that's true.
I think that was, and again, maybe I'm just getting a little too heavy on it, but I just felt like that was just...
I think that's a good point.
Like, it was terrible because this thing wouldn't have been there if they weren't trying to...
They created this thing in order to gain recognition for themselves, for their park, but also the captivity that they kept it in. They didn't, they thought, that's always the theme in the book, is that they feel that they could
control
or breed these things, clone these creatures, thinking that we put a tracking device in it, or we'll take away an enzyme that if they leave this part of the park, they can only go a few days without dying. We're in control of if they live or die, and if we have to put them down and start over again, we just kill them.
Mm-hmm.
Not respecting the life that it actually was because they had created it. So it is definitely... the movies are always like blockbuster, running away, but there's an underlying theme of man's ambition, man's greed, their feeling that they could be God in some capacity, right?
Yeah.
And that they're in control. So it's, I really like that point that you brought out about how it kind of was a represent, its viciousness, its monstrosity.
Yeah.
But I think too that you kind of have to make that that dinosaur so monstrous so that you want to see it put down.
Yeah, but even when it was happening, spoilers, it made me sad because that thing would not be going through what it's going through if it wasn't for the people that created it.
No, you're absolutely right. It's a conflict as you're watching it. Yeah. It's, 'cause you,
it's more like, you know what, just leave it alone. We shouldn't have... And you know what? Okay, sorry. You're in the middle of a thought.
Go ahead.
No, I was gonna jump to something completely...
No, go ahead. I don't have... I wouldn't even know where to start. Keep going. Jump.
And the other thing that I felt was... Okay. Your question to me was, did I like the movie? I found it entertaining. But can I say something really pathetic and stupid?
Yeah.
It made me really sad.
Yeah. I think it's intended
to. I think this is the saddest... movie of all of the, like, it was the one that emotionally drained me. And on top of the fact that there was a lot of like action and like there's a couple of screaming moments that I had there, and like it drained me emotionally because I just felt that it was, even the way that the Tyrannosaurus Rex was used, it's almost like it's an old, whatever, he's nothing new, so let's just keep him in here, let's just feed him the way we've been feeding him all along, with let's tie the goat up to the thing and, you know, attract it with the what's it called,
the flare. Yeah,
like it wasn't, and it, I think that's also a representation of like us, like we're so hungry to move on to the next thing, you know, iPhone 16, or you know what I mean, like we're not content with what beauty we already have in or what we're already experiencing, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. We're always ready to just move on and just leave and just chuck whatever
is old,
like it's not, it doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah, the Tyrannosaurus Rex wasn't enough of an attraction.
No, like these are animals that were living millions and millions of years ago, and people have access to seeing them. Like how is it that people feel that they weren't enough?
And that's the interesting theme of the books that I think still tie into this movie, is the hubris of man thinking that they can condition and control things that isn't their right to. Like, dinosaurs were never meant to be amongst men. That's a big theme in the book. Ian Malcolm always brings that up, right? It's like, these were things that lived their life. They never were amongst people, human beings, mm-hmm. right? And you think that you understand them, and you don't even know anything about them. You're putting together pieces of their DNA that aren't even correct. Mm-hmm. That was even what the doctor said in this movie. Henry Wu makes the appearance to kind of give a throwback to the original Jurassic Park, which I thought was cool.
But he was almost portrayed like an antagonist.
He is. In this one, he's kind of slimy.
Like, in the other one, it was more like he was excited to be a part of the creation of.
Yes.
And had the science and the knowledge and the appreciation and, you know, a little bit of the cockiness, because he's like...
We know what we're doing.
We know what's going on.
Yeah.
But now it was more like... Listen, this is what you asked for. We delivered.
Yeah, like, and this is what we do here. We know what we're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I just felt like... I felt bad for the Tyrannosaurus Rex. It was almost like he was just an antique.
Yeah.
Like...
But I think, too, that's, like, the main event fight, right? Is that, let's see the real king of this Jurassic world take out this fake hybrid... not even a real dinosaur, something that never existed. Let's have the real king of this kingdom come, and it's like having the lion come out, right?
Mm-hmm.
And fighting that battle against the hybrid hyena, if you will. What did you think of the performances from the actors and actresses?
The actor that I found most real, and I found that his acting was most natural, was the Pratt.
Okay.
What's his name? Chris Pratt. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I liked him. I thought he did it really well. He played that paper well. It was viable.
How about the Kingpin making an appearance? I really like Vincent D'Onofrio. He every time I see him, especially in this role, he has that I don't know, that quality to him that just, he's got a purpose, he's got a mission, but he's got this, ever since I've seen him in the Kingpin role, I always kind of see him being this person with a other side to him, and he kind of has that in this movie as well, and I really liked his performance too. You think it was over the top?
I liked him in the first scene that we saw him in, like, so let's say the first 20 minutes.
Okay.
And then I was done with him. I found that he was a little obnoxious. He was kind of overplaying the role.
Okay.
I found that a lot of the actors were overplaying their role. Even Dr. Wu. Like, I get that he's supposed to play this egotistical know-it-all. But I didn't like it. I thought his performance in the original, even though what was like a 10-minute cameo or whatever, like, it was just more natural. Okay. I just found that there was a lot of overacting.
Okay.
Unnecessarily.
Okay.
The Pratt was my favorite, and I liked the new Tim. We don't even know the names of these children. Who are these people?
it's the, in this movie, the, what's her name now?
She's the lady Claire. From the water. Lady in the water.
Bryce Dallas Howard. She plays Claire in this movie, who is kind of the, not the CEO of the park. She's
like a manager.
She manages type, supervisor, the park. Yeah.
Like right hand person.
Yes, exactly. It's her nephews that come to visit her, and she's. Her character, I feel, has the most progression through the movie, as going from somebody who's very career-driven and focused on business to recognizing that she's got to go and have a heart again.
I see what you're saying, but I disagree, but I found that was too drastic. It was done way too quickly. All of a sudden, seeing one security camera shot with a mother and her daughter... It just dawned on her that two of her nephews are... Like, no. it was just... And then she's in a panic. I have to go find them. I need your help. Like, the person that she couldn't stand, even if you mentioned the guy's name, she was like, ugh. But then now she just did a complete
360.
And, like, all of a sudden she has this heart. It was just kind of a little too drastic and too quick for me.
Yeah, that's true. There were parts of this movie that were your rushed. Typical... You know, your typical, like, forcing the plot to move forward and not letting it gradually progress. Because everything happens so fast, right? And I think that's the problem you fall into with stories like this. Whereas in the first movie, there wasn't as much, like, it was much simpler plot and purpose of what they were trying to do. And everything just kind of happened in a natural order. So, like you said, there was more natural performances. Even screenplay. Like, in this one, there's those, you know, those little one-liners and things that are put there. Because it's almost like they have the Chris Pratt and Bryce Dallas Howard have to have that sort of... Like the kiss, for
yeah,
instance.
Like that, like,
there was a kiss in the middle of... There's all. It's one of those things, like, really, you gotta kiss Spider-Man now? Like, the building's falling and there's always room for a kiss? It's those type of things that, you know, kind of take you out of everything that's happening, that make you roll your eyes a little bit.
Yeah.
But one of the things I did like in this movie, because I didn't go in looking for, you know, Oscar performances or...
No,
for,
I don't think anybody did.
No, but in this instance, what I did like... is that in comparison to all the other Jurassic movies, like in the first one, you really showcased the viciousness of the raptors. And then, you know, you had your Tyrannosaurus Rex, of course. In the second one, it was still the two Tyrannosaurus, you know, they upped it by having two Tyrannosaurus Rex and raptors and all these other little, the compies, the little dinosaurs that will eat you, and you see the stegosaurs and stuff. And then in the third Jurassic, you get the pterodactyls. This one has all of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've got the raptors that are being now trained by Pratt in the movie to have some type of a purpose, to be controlled, mm-hmm. if you were, so that they're not as vicious. They'll respond to a human.
Mm-hmm.
And D'Onofrio's character, he wants to use them in actual combat.
I thought that was such a reach.
Yeah.
Like, that's your ploy to take this story further. There's this guy that wants to use them for war.
Yeah.
Why couldn't it be that he wanted his own park? Like, I don't know. I mean, I'm not saying that's any juicier, but like...
Because now InGen, the company, it has involved themselves in supplying, being like an arms dealer, like a Stark. So he's seeing these things as being battle ready, right? But then you even get the pterodactyls coming down and like seeing a crowd of people that these pterodactyls are coming down and picking up or nipping at. It was just, I don't know, there's just one thing after the other that kind of had you at the edge of your seat. Whereas in the other movies, you always had that one dinosaur showcased,
mm-hmm.
type of thing that you would wait like, oh, that was so cool. Did you see that? This one had all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that part of it. Like, you really got your money's worth for that adventure.
Some of those pterodactyls look messed up, man.
They kind
of
look like they had Tyrannosaurus Rex.
Yeah, heads, like, that's right? What I'm like, what's happening here? Yeah. Like, it just looked, I don't know, some of it was just crazy looking sometimes.
What was the scariest scene for you?
The scariest scene for me was the saddest scene for me was when the hybrid dinosaur was taking out, I don't know the name of the dinosaur, but I always know what it is. Anyway.
It was the one where they were in that sphere, right?
Yeah.
That we were on the ride.
The kids were in the sphere. They went off course when they should have gone back when they said the park was shut down. And there was these two little, dinosaurs grazing in the grass.
Grazing.
And all of a sudden, and then he's trying to defend himself, and then the hybrid goes nuts on him, and then, I couldn't watch it. I got so sad. That was the scariest part for me.
Yeah.
I was like, and I think I even told you, like, no, the kids are right there. Go after the kids. Go after the kids. What are you doing? Like,
You would rather see the kids.
Any day.
Their names are Gray and Zach.
How do you know this right now?
I looked it up right now. The computers here are going to use it.
Well, anyway, this hybrid should have gone after, you know, Mike and John. Because I don't know what the other one was, just they're eating. And oh, poor thing. And then it reminded me of kind of like the death spin. What's it called?
Of a crocodile?
Of a crocodile, because he flipped it on its belly.
Oh, okay.
And he couldn't get up. And the poor thing attacked it. I'm assuming that's what happened, because the last thing I saw was the dinosaur on his back. Because on his shell, he was really
pretty
strong on top.
It was pretty sad.
Oh, I just couldn't. And that was the scariest part for me. I hated seeing that.
Yeah, that was pretty sad.
Oh, awful. But then when he started attacking the kids in the ball, I was like, yeah. That's what this movie's all about. Let's continue with this.
Kill the people. Stop killing your own.
I don't know. I don't know. I like when... Because that's what you want. That's what you want to go see. You want it to go see... You want to see it go after you. Like, what would you do?
Right,
but you don't want to see something innocent being attacked.
Yeah, you don't want to see the herbivores get killed.
Yeah, like...
The Triceratops... Or when the
pterodactyls were there picking up the baby triceratops, and then they couldn't, so they would drop them again. I felt so bad for them. It was terrible.
Yeah, there's a lot of moments where you're like, no, there's all these people. Go for the babies.
Yeah, you had so much to choose from, and they had to go for the terrible.
The clone dinosaurs, how could they? If you were at the park, which would be the ride that you'd want to do the most? That you saw in the movie.
Okay, there was like, that sphere one.
That was cool.
That, and you know what? That scene with Bill and Joe there in the sphere?
Zach and Gray.
That was, I think that was a homage. Homage to the original Jurassic Park. To the original movie, because that's when Lex and Tim were in the car. And they had to hold the glass up away from the T-Rex. And he was like gnawing his way through the thing. I don't know, maybe that's just me again reaching, but what would be my I think I liked the marine land scene where they show you I'm happy that the great white shark was dead already.
Yeah,
because if it was
I don't know what that water dinosaur was called.
I don't know.
The Mosasaur or something like that.
Whatever it was. I just thought the fact that the seats of the Marineland thing, because they kind of submerge.
Yeah.
So that you can see in the, like an aquarium now.
Yeah.
Not just see from the outside, but it drops and you can actually see it swimming and doing its thing in the water.
I thought
that was very cool.
Notice what I liked was the part where you see the family's kayaking, and there's all those
dinosaurs
in the water, and they're just like amongst them. There's no threat to them, but
they're just like in rowboats.
Yeah,
and they're like kind of weaving and going around all the
observing that tropical.
Yeah,
that was,
it actually looked very pretty.
That was cool. I like that. That was one that
I forgot about. That
it would probably be really frightening at the same time, but it would be there was a certain peacefulness to it.
Yeah,
I don't know. It's hard to explain. That one I liked. That was my favorite attraction. The sphere, I don't know what it was called, that dome that they're in, and you can kind of guide it yourself.
Which I think is stupid. Like,
it is stupid.
I thought it was on a track, and all of a sudden I see him shifting gears and Jimmy Fallon, you know, making an appearance in this movie. I'm like, what's happening? Like, you could just go anywhere? That's dumb. Yeah, that's not an accident waiting to happen.
Yeah, no, exactly. You saw the writing on the wall with that one.
Yeah.
So overall, what would you say about this movie? Would you recommend it? How would you grade it if you were a critic? Out of 10.
I honestly think I would probably give it a 6.5.
Really?
Yeah.
Just because it was hard to watch.
Well, that aside, I just, like I said, I don't think there was a smooth storyline. Things just kind of happened. And I don't think there was much character development. It was just, again, things just happened. There was no substance.
Okay.
I think it lacked that very much.
Lacked the substance.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Fair enough. For myself, I would rank this one my second favorite amongst the Jurassic movies, and it could be because I just came out of the theater,
mm-hmm.
so I'm excited, and I just finished reading the book, so I got all of this, like, the hype, I got that hype machine going
mm-hmm.
in me,
mm-hmm.
and I really enjoyed the whole movie. As far as an entertaining ride, I really would recommend it.
It kept
me at the edge of my seat.
It was entertaining. I don't want to take away from it. It was very entertaining. It was too hard for me to watch it, but I knew that going in.
Yeah.
I knew that I wouldn't be able to stomach certain things because I'm an emotional wreck when I see animals get
hurt
and whatnot. But I still stand by the fact that I don't think that there was any substance to this. There was no story. It was retold, the story that we already know, chaos.
Yeah.
But at least there was some kind of background to that theory. Like, things just happened this time around, and I didn't think that was
whatever. Would it have been better if Ian Malcolm was there?
I think it would have been cool if one of the original,
cast.
I mean,
you had Woo.
Woo was there.
but, no, you're right.
Yeah.
But I also appreciate the fact that they didn't try to make it overly nostalgic in...
But the times that they did...
Were tasteful.
Oh, it was so well done.
Yeah,
that was very well done.
That's what I mean. Like, it captured the essence of everything.
Yeah.
And I don't think it was, like, it didn't cheapen the value of this movie. Like, it stands on its own. Referencing what was before it,
mm-hmm.
but not depending on it. to right. make it... That's not what the movie's built on, I mm-hmm. don't think, which I like.
And I really like the fact that there was a relationship between the human, not humans, but the one human and the raptors. The raptors have always been my favorite. I think I've said that before. They're my favorite in all these movies.
Raptors frighten the heck out of me.
They're amazing. They're so good. They're so good. But they reminded me of Kobe.
What?
Yeah, they
no,
did.
No, they did not.
No. Because when we find out what the hybrid was also made out of, like its other, whatever, what's it called?
It's all the DNA splices.
So when we find out what it is, and then, you know, and then you see the raptors looking at it, like, looking up high, and kind of just, like, following command. Kobe does that. So I was like, oh, no. So that's like when they were fighting, and I'm like, watch your tail. Because that's the first thing that goes. When it went after the Tyrannosaurus Rex in the first Jurassic Park, what happened? He was on his neck. His tail got... The tail is just as... what's it called? What's the word I'm looking for? As... Oh, the word is right in my mouth. Right here. Right now. It's right there. it's right there. Treacherous. And... Oh, what's the word? As, like, a superhero having a cape.
Oh, okay.
Like, it just...
You need it.
No, they don't need...
Oh, you mean like it's a hindrance.
Yes, that's the word.
Right, hindrance.
It messes them up.
Right.
And I think there was only one raptor that survived. That one lonely raptor all by himself.
Oh, Blue.
And they're all girls.
Spoilers. I like the raptors, but they scare the heck out of me. Like, you can't have these movies without them, but they're so evil. Like, I know I'm going back to the book again, but having read the book, I realized just how vicious they are. Like, they eat their own. They don't even care.
So do we, man.
But they're children.
So do we.
They don't have any qualms about eating
But people are the same way. They're just as cold. People will stab each other in the back just to get ahead. It's a survival mechanism.
So, at the end of the day, what we could take away from this movie review is that humans are really raptors.
Humans are animals.
We are.
At the end of the day.
You always gotta make it deep.
I'm sorry.
It's okay, I'm just playing with you.
I like the movie.
You did. Would you want to own it?
I have to.
You have to.
It has to be in the trilogy.
We don't have the trilogy. We only have the first two. I refuse to watch the third one. I find it stupid.
I don't know what the third one... The one with the pterodactyls?
Yeah. Eric! Stupid.
Well, it has to be in the collection. That's what I mean.
Okay. I'm definitely going to want to own this one. Does that wrap it up?
Yeah.
Anything left you want to add to it?
I don't know.
Before we go?
No.
Any other spoilers or reviews or...
Oh, it just made me so sad, this one.
Oh, I'm sorry. But you got through it. You were a soldier. You didn't leave the theater in tears.
And then the Tyrannosaurus, it's like he regained his, like...
superiority, his dominance.
All over again.
Yeah.
Because did you notice, too, when he was coming out, it was kind of like him coming out of the darkness?
Yeah.
And kind of like, yeah, I'm back. He even looked a little aged. I wonder if they used the same one.
You think so?
I don't know
what the lifespan is for Tyrannosaurus.
Well, I don't know, but there was, I don't know. Anyway, it was a good movie. It was good times. Thanks for the VIP experience. That was a good time.
It was a good time. From now on, that's what we're doing for movies.
All the time.
Sounds good. Thank you guys for joining us again in the Cave of Solitude. I hope you enjoyed our Jurassic World review. If you have any... what's the word I'm looking for? Now the word that's in my title. If you have anything you want to share with us in regards to your views on the movie, how you enjoyed it, email us at caveofsolitude@outlook.com. Leave us a response at our website, caveofsolitude.com. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and yeah, just hit us up. Give us some of your responses, some of your input. We're always interested to hearing what you guys have to say.
And if you want any suggestions on reading material, you can go on our website and check out our review section.
Thank you. Very, very nice segue.
Rapid fire reviews.
Yes.
Take it away.
No, we have a new post on our website that's more than weekly reviews. We've got a ton of reviews coming in for different comic books that is being given to us from a correspondent, if you will, from Australia, who's writing the reviews. And you can also follow Rapid Fire Reviews on Instagram as well. They're really succinct, really quick, detailed reviews without any like over spoilers. So if you want fresh new comic book reviews, come to Kato Solitude and click on our Rapid Fire Review page. Thanks again for listening, and go watch Jurassic World. It's better than a 6.5. I give it an 8.3.
Wow.
Wow. Good night, everybody.